Hey, buddy, we're live. Can you believe it?
I love that.
we've been racking and stacking them so long. I had to wake up and remember we're doing a live today.
Yeah, and we normally would have that running a minute before we're going to start. So everybody that's out there watching, I do apologize. And I apologize for that, too. You got to love live stuff.
You want to grab that? We can wait.
That's right. Sean's like, what is this? What sort of Bush League show is this?
Hey, that's okay. That's the beauty of lies, right?
That's the beauty of lies.
It is. But it's, this is a rack and stack and week for, what are we going to have? Like one live and like three or four recorded podcasts this week, right?
Yeah. It's absolutely crazy how nuts, our lifestyle is, but you know what, Randy, we get to do what we love and love what we do, interviewing awesome people like our guest today.
I know. And it's, Sean Litvak, I mean, he's been a friend of ours in the Megamind Mastermind group for what, 2.5 years, pushing three now, probably, whatever it's been. I had dinner with Sean in Louisville last week at a great spot downtown Louisville. I can't remember what the name of it was, but he directed us there, and he was not wrong. It was outstanding food, and I've been excited about Sean's book. And even more so after discussing it with him, because he's fired up, pumped up, and ready to talk about his book. So do you want to banter, or do you think we should just bring Sean in? What do you think?
I think that we should bring Sean, but I want to show this amazing picture. Look at that.
Look at us. Look at us. That's Sean on the left. And which one's the big guy?
I'm not sure who that big ball guy was, but I got to tell you, he was kind of menacing.
He was menacing, but I did feel like getting a little mouthy a couple of times because we were together and I felt like I had my bodyguard. So that was a good thing. So thank you.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's bring on Sean, because he's a heck of a lot more awesome than that menacing guy.
Yeah. It's close. All right. Let's do it.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Can you believe this? The one and only. We were live together literally a few nights ago, and now we're here live again.
And now we're here live again, but virtually live. You know, I was just messaging back and forth with Carson Hetty publicly on LinkedIn, because he was talking about social selling and how it's important and people not wanting to embrace it. And I said to him that, we not only need to do social selling, but we need to not forget about the old way of selling, with cold calls and being in person. And those that are going to survive the hybrid lifestyle will be those that are hybrid, like you, Randy.
Well, thank you. That was a great segue. Is Carson a great guy, by the way? I love Carson. He was on Building Win Lives early on in the start of the show. And I love the guy, man. He actually, I'm going to review his book one of these days, because he's wrote several really good books. But
he has. It's a whole series. And look, this way, because it's mirrored. There is Proverbs for Leadership.
Is that you and Solomon? Look at that.
That is me and Solomon on the cover. My wife, I need to give her credit, took the picture. And it's pretty amazing that when I showed it to my publisher, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to use this.
Yeah, that's a great pick. That's a great pick. Even George Henderson, our brother and pal and friend, he pops on. He took a mid-afternoon break just to be with us.
I like that.
Yeah. Either this is he understood the incredibleness of this show, or he's living a pretty boring day.
He's bored,
one or the other. But we're glad to have you here, Brother George.
Absolutely.
We had a great chat the other night. By the way, thank you for recommending a great spot for dinner. God, that was good.
Brendan's 23. If anyone is in Louisville and you're looking for fine dining, incredible seafood, Brendan's 23 in downtown Louisville.
Now, I think you said that wrong, though. You said if y'all. It's all y'all.
If all y'all.
Come on. Our friend Michelle would be all over you for that.
Absolutely.
We got to get this right. Anyway, so Sean, Proverbs for Leadership. It's out now. It's available on Kindle as we speak.
It is available on Kindle as we speak. The big push is tomorrow, but it is available on Kindle today.
So don't buy it until tomorrow.
Unless you want to go right now and buy it, that wouldn't be a bad thing either. So.
Either. Or you could sit here and listen to us and then go buy it. Or buy it tomorrow.
But say that again?
I said, or buy it tomorrow.
Or buy it tomorrow. Yeah, for the first several days, the Kindle version is only going to be 99 cents on Amazon. Just go to Amazon, type in Proverbs for Leadership or Proverbs for Leadership Sean, or my name, Sean Litvak, and you'll end up getting to the book. I had a couple people text me today because they were trying to buy it from the Kindle app. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know this, Randy. You can't actually buy books from the Kindle app anymore. You have to go onto your computer to buy it and then send it to the Kindle. Something to do with Android and Apple wanting all kinds of money.
Gotcha. Well, I was blessed to get a manuscript version from you early on so that I could write an endorsement, which I appreciated you having me do. It's an incredible book. It's well written.
Thank you.
And people are going to enjoy it. So let's chat about. Hey, Jordan. Happy Monday, my friend. He's from out in beautiful California, I believe, someplace. Eric Bam.
Eric Bam.
So why? Let's just get right down to it. Why does Sean Litvak write this book? I know you're a leadership guy. You're vice president of a company of sales and marketing, or sales?
Sales.
So you're a leader, but why Proverbs for Leadership? Give us the background. Give us what led you to do this.
So back in 2011, I thought I needed to write a book. I had just then moved from one company that I had been with for over 20 years to another company. And as I was mentally, you know, taking inventory of the past and looking to the future, I was thinking about business and leadership and the good I had seen, the bad I had seen, the medium I had seen, and, you know, how people could really improve. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought I should just write a book. And I started writing a book. It was originally called Proverbs for Business because it was going to be about how to conduct business. Because at that time, I had some very strong opinions as to how business should be conducted. Opinions so strong that they wouldn't survive in our post-COVID world any longer because we've become a different society. And I tried to write the book and I wrote several chapters and then got rid of it and went back and forth. And I ended up putting it aside for several years. The first file I have is actually from 2011. And then in 2018, in earnest, I prayed about it. And I said, you know, I want to write this book, God. Should I be investing my time? Because I realized at that point, as I had played with it then, at that point for 7 years, you know, I was like, Lord, should I be writing this book? And what God told me was, if you write this book, I will take care of everything five times over. And, you know, people have asked me, they're like, well, what is everything? And it's interesting because people immediately focus on, as did I initially, finances and prosperity. And what I came to realize that, yeah, there's that, but finances are the lowest form of prosperity. What about relationships? What about expanding your knowledge? What about your marriage? What about your children? What about your influence in the community? And that is taking care of things five times over. So I sat down to write the book, and I did it in spurts, obviously. And I started going through the book of Proverbs. And I just looked at each chapter, And I said, okay, what is the overwhelming theme here? And I came up with 30 themes, not 31, but 30. And I started to write about experiences in my life related to a theme. And as I wrote it all out, I found different scripture, Bible verses to marry up to it. And it's very much a progression of, well, it's the progression of the subtitle of the book. Actually, the book is subtitled, "You Must Understand Yourself and Improve If You Desire Leadership That Will Produce Success in Others." And here's the first thing that I learned. I was trying to lead people, and I did not understand myself, and I certainly didn't think anyone could tell me how to improve.
Which is something we all suffer from a lot, right?
Which is something we all suffer from. And, you know, there's a lot of the book about feedback, and I hated feedback at one time in my life, but I came to, I wouldn't say enjoy it, but I realize it's a necessity. It is important. And once I realized how to sift through the feedback, separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, the real from the hollow, feedback became more important to me. So as I said, the book is a progression. And Randy, interrupt me at any time.
Go ahead. I'm enjoying listening.
Pull the string. Here we go. So the book begins with self-talk. We all have a continuing dialogue going on in our head where we're either building ourselves up or we're tearing ourselves down. So the first thing that I discuss is self-talk and replaying those recordings in your mind that you heard all your life when you were younger. People telling me that I talked too much. People telling me that my mouth was going to get me in trouble. People, you know, telling me, what, do you think that you have the answer to everything? Just really being insulting at times and giving me feedback, but not in the best of ways. And what I came to understand is I started viewing myself as someone that was like what these people were saying. But at the same time, God doesn't make any garbage. We are made in God's image. So there's a reason that I have a gift of gab. But what I needed to develop was my listening abilities and my desire to listen, because we have two ears and one mouth. You know, we were built that way for a reason, and we need to listen more than we do speak.
Wow. And so it took, it takes, I think, all of us, especially in the world of sales, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all think of a sales guy typically as this fast talking, you want to tell everything you know, spurt it out. And reality is, he who talks less sells more is the truth, right? And I think it's the same way in a lot of things. If we would listen and wait for that feedback first before we start running our mouths, we may A, not look stupid, and B, we'd actually learn some things that will help move us towards where we want to be, whether it's in the world of sales or relationships or whatever the case may be. So I think that's great advice.
And, you know, it's a matter of self, you know, having the, so the next thing that I talk about in the book, after getting control of your self-talk and how you view yourself, but also not self-sabotaging, having control over your body, having control over what you put your hand to, thinking long-term, because so often, as you said, in sales or people in general will just go after the next shiny thing. And they're going ping, 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 ping. I mean, it was interesting when you and I both joined Megamind. Well, that was the next shiny thing, especially during COVID, because we needed something to do to hone our skills. And honing our skills during COVID into video like this, into how to present yourself, well, the same thing applies in life, that you don't want to self-sabotage. You need to hone your skills. You need to understand what sets you off and either put processes in place to not self-sabotage or put processes in place to pull yourself out of those situations.
Great. That is pretty profound, because I think by nature we're self-saboteurs, right, at times. And I don't think anybody deep down wants to do that, but because we don't think first, and like you said, we don't have processes in place,
right,
to either not do it to begin with or to recognize, like that proverbial, it's out there and you reach and grab it and bring it back. Do we have the ability, and that's a learned ability, right, is to do, because first thing you got to do, though, is be aware that you're doing it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I remember when, before I was given the opportunity to speak in front of people, I've listened to lots of preachers over the years. And there's one preacher in particular, the Copeland family, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And whenever Gloria Copeland speaks, she always begins with Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And, you know, whether you're a believer, whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or not, this verse can still be applicable in your life. Okay, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So what does that say? In life, we should be seeking first God's kingdom, God's perfection, and his righteousness, his right way of doing things. So as I wrote the book, as I'm living my life, and by no means am I perfect, all right? And by no means do I say that I have not made mistakes. But if in all these topics that I cover in the book, if people would seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, imagine the personal improvement that an individual can have, not only in themselves, but they can then lead their team into. The book is really broken up into two different sections: understanding and improving yourself, and then leading others to produce success in their lives. It is my personal philosophy that until an individual understands and embraces and takes the action to improve themselves, they will not be a quality leader.
Good point. So, hey, Tim Lord's on. Look at that. A fellow shark, our friend from New Hampshire. So,
Nashua,
beautiful town. I was there and had a lovely evening with Tim and one night, and his lovely girlfriend, wife, kind of, sort of, whatever, Christine, I want to say it is. But great town. What a great town out there, by the way. I love New Hampshire, or the state of Nashua. It's fun to say. So to be a good leader, you found that you got to understand yourself first prior to trying to lead other people. And
yes,
you talk about that in the book quite extensively.
Yeah, I talk about that in the book. And one thing that has been a struggle of mine as a leader is developing personal relationships with those on my team. For the simple reason, I always had this fear that one day I might have to fire this person. And if they became my friend, or they saw me even as a human being, you know, how would I be able to manage them? But as I was working through this, I realized how much stronger my relationships would be, how much better I would be able to lead individuals if I just talked to them like a person and took some personal interest in them. There was a member of my team, hardworking guy, great leader in his own right. His customers loved him. His employees would gnaw off their arm to do what he needed them to do. But when we would get on my weekly team call, the guy was quiet, never said anything. And I asked him one day after the call, because he was local in Louisville with me, and I was managing people in multiple states and multiple geographies at that time. And I asked him, I was like, dude, I'm not going to say his name. I was like, dude, why don't you talk on these calls? And they weren't video like this. They were conference calls. And he said to me, he said, Sean, you talk enough for all of us. And I know what you're going to say. And you already have the answer. And that, like, it struck me. And I said, you know what? Next week, you're leading the call. You're going to lead the call. Here's a couple things I wanted to cover, but otherwise, I want you to do the whole thing. So I gave him that authority to do that, and I entered into the call like I was reporting to him and let him be the leader in that situation. And it was amazing. This guy came alive.
Wow.
I saw a side of him I had never seen before, laughing, smiling, cutting jokes, ribbing people on the call, and we got so much accomplished. It was after that that I realized that in my effort to produce for our organization, I'd really cut myself off from getting to know my team, recognizing the differences in them, and nurturing those abilities for all of our benefit.
Wow. That's an incredible lesson, and incredible that you figured that out. And obviously the results were great. So it sounded like you adhere to a leadership style. We're getting off of Proverbs for a minute, but we'll go back.
Yeah.
A leadership style of it's okay to know your employees, if you will, the people under you, the people that report to you. It's okay to know them in as personal a way as they will allow. And literally become, I guess, friends to a certain degree with people. So they don't have to be, there's always got to be the, at the end of the day, in that case, Sean's still in charge, right?
Right.
But it doesn't have to be this far apart. It could be this far apart, right?
It does not. And what I have found is that relished and opened myself up to feedback from both my peers and those above me. Because, you know, I'll be honest, at one point I thought I knew everything and no one could teach me anything. We've all been there. If you say you haven't, well, maybe that statement is you being there. But anyways, I digress. Once I allowed myself to accept feedback from individuals speaking into my life and took the time to sort through it as to what is good, what is bad, what should I implement, and really consider it, I was then able to accept feedback from those reporting to me, all right, you know, one of those 360 feedback deals, and even those in different departments that I thought knew nothing about what I was trying to accomplish for the company. After I walked down that path, I found that I was much more thoughtful in giving feedback to people. See, what I found was that as I'd been so defensive about receiving feedback, it inhibited my ability to provide feedback in a courageous way.
Got it.
You know, not just the Oreo theory, but, you know, to show kindness and empathy. And frankly, empathy is something I think everyone needs to grow in. It is just difficult to grow in empathy, at least for me.
It is. And, you know, talking about feedback, for whatever reason, most people have a built-in guard against, their guard is up against feedback, because we always have feedback. And some of it is probably because of maybe bad managers that we've all had in the past. It could go way back to when we were young and getting yelled at the local shop we worked at or whatever. Is we probably feedback too many times has been delivered as negative. And so self-defense wise, we don't want feedback from anybody because I don't want to hear what you have to say because it's going to be negative. And feedback doesn't have to be always negative. And if it's delivered properly, maybe it's negative as in you're not a bad person.
Right.
But what you're thinking or your idea, there may be a little different way, a better way, or I don't think that's really going to work, Sean. Here, however, have you thought about this, right? If it's delivered in the right way. But I think you're so right that if we don't open ourselves up to that, and that's that self-talk thing you talked about earlier, which I thought was very good, is most of us are trained from the old management styles of years and years and years ago that all feedback is going to be negative feedback because that's all we got many times. A lot of leaders, that's only style they had was to beat on your head over something. And so after a while, you become self-defensive. And the best way to defend against that is to, you know, shut your lips and say nothing and hope they just leave you alone. And then none of us get any worse when we do that. We don't grow, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was at a company that I worked for a long, long time. I once asked my immediate supervisor, I was like, hey, I want a review. And his comment was, what do you mean you want a review? I was like, well, lots of companies have annual reviews. I've worked for you for a number of years. And in the entire time I've been with our organization, no one has ever given me a review. His answer was the most old school answer that I've ever heard in my life, looking back on it. He said, did you get your paycheck last Friday? Yes. That's your review.
Wow. That, you don't get much more old school than that, do you?
Don't get much more old school than that. And, you know, that doesn't work in today's world. People want feedback. People expect feedback. And it's like, you know, dropping popcorn along the road or in a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think as we go into multi-generations, right, I think the younger generations today probably crave and need that feedback more than our people our age, right?
Yes.
They really need to know where they stand. They really need to know what's going on. They really need to know because it's so much more than just a paycheck to them, as it should be. And I think old school, it was all about just shut up and do your job. It doesn't matter if you hate it because it's all about the paycheck. Not a good way to live happily for any generation. But I think today's generation, if I'm not happy here, and part of my happiness here is to have some input, have some say, and to get some feedback back and forth, I'll leave tomorrow because I need that even more than I need the paycheck. Do you find that to be true?
I find that I know many people that are a generation or two behind me that they'll end up getting a new job every 2 or 3 years. And that has almost become the norm in society that now it's not about income earning potential, but it's about quality of life or compliments in however you compliment the individual, because the extrovert and the introvert want to be complimented in completely different ways. Compliment the extrovert in public, compliment the introvert privately. I will tell you that. Where was I going with that? I have come to realize that. So in 2 Timothy, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the scripture in front of me, It says, do not take for granted someone because of their young age. All right. Well, I would say do not take someone for granted because of their young age, because of their older age, because of their gender, because of their political outlook, because of the geography in the country where they live. Do not take anyone for granted that they cannot speak into your life and that you can have also just as much effect speaking into their lives. It's amazing that I know some people that are younger people that are incredibly talented, but they get intimidated when they try to train someone who is older than them or a group of people who are older than them, that they refer to their own youth. And I would tell people, if you've been given the authority, well, don't let it go to your head, but at the same time, realize you've been given that authority to lead. So go lead, whether you're older, whether you're younger, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're from the South, the Midwest, the West Coast, the East Coast, wherever, you've been given that authority. We're all different people. And there's no reason that we can't all work together in a very rational way where we get along.
You know, well said. And, you know, something you said a minute ago, and then we'll wrap up by talking about a little bit more about your book and get you out of here, because you're on a flamethrower of a few days here, buddy. I'm telling you,
I am on a flamethrower of a few days.
That's awesome. But you know, you hit on treating the introvert and the extrovert, right? Mm-hmm. And so I read into that, and what you said, I think, is that you do buy into the leadership theory that, just like in coaching, you coach different players differently, right? The way you might put it, as a coach, we all have to put things into sports adages, right? You may hug the one guy and be a little calmer with him.
Yes.
But the other person, you may be literally in his face, right? It's coaching technique, but it's also more than the technique. It's recognizing, right, that individual and how you approach them. And I thought that was very interesting. So you do subscribe to the theory that there's basic rules, but outside of that, I'm going to deal with you on an individual basis. And that's where you come in earlier. It circles back, which I think is interesting. The more you know this person,
yes,
right, the more you're in ability to talk to them in a way that is going to be most beneficial to them, which will then be more beneficial to you as their leader, right?
Absolutely. You can't treat everyone the same. Yes, people may have the same objectives, but you have to realize that they're going to approach things differently. I mean, I have some coworkers that approach things very differently than me. And over the past year, I've taken some of their strategies and tactics and rolled them into what I do. And I think because I have recognized the success that they have had in specific strategies and tactics, that I have become even more successful overall in what I'm doing. I subscribe to the theory that you don't ignore someone's weaknesses, but at the same time, you should be coaching to their strengths. Take someone from good to great,
right,
in whatever they are doing. You know, I am the extrovert. So let's harness that extrovert in an even greater way. But let's not also ignore the part of me that should be introverted to deal with and work with those kind of people. So let's make me a little more of an ambivert too.
Love it. Well said. Well said. So, Sean, this is exciting times, right?
Yes.
The book. I mean, you've been. What he said? Tell Solomon to interview you, not him. Solomon wants to be on air. I think you need him on air with you. That's what you should do.
Yeah. I'm at my stand up desk, so I'd have to put him on a perch and watch him lunge at the screen. So.
Good old Solomon. Oh, that's good stuff. He knows his dad's in here. You know, being interviewed, and he wants to be involved because he knows.
He knows what's going on. I need to take some more videos of Solomon. But, you know, I get some of my best thinking when I'm taking Solomon out for the walk.
Oh, your walks with Solomon, folks, if you don't catch Sean's walk with Solomon, you got to catch them. They're good. They're inspirational. They're just Sean and his dog, Solomon.
Absolutely.
Walking down the road. Good stuff. So we can buy the book, buy the Kindle now, a paperback version will be coming in the near future.
In the very near future, absolutely. Probably within a week or so, okay. A paperback version will be available. So what people can do today is they can first go to proverbsforleadership.com and they can sign up there to find out information about the book so I can keep in touch with you after the book. This is for my weekly newsletter and the occasional text. If you sign up here, you will then be immediately notified when the paperback and the hardback book comes out. I'll send you an email. And just for what I'm doing to promote people to understand themselves and improve so they can experience leadership that will produce success in others. So that's the first thing you can do. Go to proverbsforleadership.com to sign up. And no, I'm not going to sell your phone number to anyone. I'm not even going to call you. The second thing you need to do is go to Amazon, type in Proverbs for Leadership or Proverbs for Leadership Sean, because it depends on the ranking if it'll pull it up right away. And you'll see that the Kindle version of the book is just 99 cents right now. And that's the price that it'll be for the first several days as we have the book launch. So you can buy the Kindle version, do it on the computer, and then just download it. Not sure what that was. And then just download it to your Kindle or your Kindle app so you can read the book on your phone. It's 30 chapters. You can read a chapter a day, and it'll give you something to think about.
Awesome. Well,
there you go.
There it is right there. Well, Sean, thank you. It's excited. I'm excited that you would chat about this special time in your life on Building Wins Live. You know, I can tell all my friends out there, Wes, and my friends to the show that highly, highly, highly recommend this book because I have read most of it. I have a little bit more to read, but what I've read so far, probably three quarters is very, very good, easy to read, spot on. And having known you, Sean, for the last 2.5 years or so, whatever you have to say, I'm going to listen to. So there you go.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for being on, brother. And keep pumping this. Keep pumping it, man. I'm going to watch you on like 12 more podcasts over the next 2-3 days. you know,
it's a busy time. Thank you so much for having me on Building Wins. I really appreciate the opportunity, Randy, to talk about Proverbs.
Always. Always. Good luck, my friend. Cheers.
Thank you.
All right. There you go, folks. My friend, my brother of Wes and I, is a fellow Megamind buddy, Sean Litvak. And seriously, what I just said, great man. Had a great dinner with him the other night in Louisville. And the excitement and the passion that he has for what he's done here is palpable. Phew. Okay. I'm not going to write that one. Anyways, you know what I meant. It's incredible. He is... wrote this from a place of love and a place of wanting to help people. And you love the book. You will love the book. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. So anyways, buy the book. That's why I always say on my book reviews, buy the book. Anyways, that's it for today. Great to be back doing a live with y'all. We'll be back with some more stuff later this week. But until then, remember to live it, love it, own it. Love what you do and do what you love. And as always, make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.